study. It is a topic night in a sense. And we're going to look at the word fellowship tonight. Fellowship. And well, that was not good. Let's try this one. Oh, maybe. No, that's not good. We'll throw that over there. Amen. No, that's not good. Why do we even have? No, that's not good. Hang on. I should have checked those out beforehand. Amen. Pretty good. Let's try this one. Oh, okay, good, good. Fellowship. That fun little way I've always learned about fellowship is two fellows in the same ship, amen? So that stuck with me. I don't know why. If you picture a little bathtub boat or whatever and two fellows in it fishing or something, two fellows in the same ship, that's kind of fellowship in a sense. And we'll see exactly why that is. We're going to go ahead to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 2. And we're going to examine fellowship a little bit tonight. What is it? We all desire it. I guess the question is, do we even know what we're desiring when we say we desire fellowship, right? And so we'll look at this just a little bit here this evening. I guess just to get started, like if I was to say, what is fellowship? Really, really short answer. Don't give me like a big paragraph. What is fellowship besides two fellows in the same ship?
A conversation.
I got to write that down. A conversation. We're not modifying, correcting. We're not doing it. We're just taking it. Yes.
Quality time.
Oh, yes, up there.
Quality time,
Jessica.
Bonding.
Quality time. She said quality time. Bonding. Okay. Those good ones. Gift well received. I'll give these before when you leave tonight. You come back and grab those. All right. Thank you. Okay. Conversation, quality time, bonding. We used to get together when the guys did. We'd call it male bondo. That's kind of funny. Yes. Developing friendships. Oh, that's a good one. Okay. Anybody else, real quick? Yes.
Common relationship. Relationship based on something common.
Okay. So commonality. Relationship. Okay. You in Acts 2? I slipped. Relationship. Oh, that should be an S. H. There we go. All right. Yes, you have one?
Helping people.
I'll write that down, but we're in Acts 2. Go ahead and turn over there. Helping people. Okay. Acts 2, verse number 41. We're going to look at the majority of the times in your New Testament that the word fellowship is used. All right? Acts chapter 2, verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So the word of God was preached, 3,000 got saved. They gladly received the word. They weren't coerced into it. They entered in willingly. They were baptized, and then they were added. So they were added to the church. They joined the church there, 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. If I was to write, let's see, fellowship, is it a noun or an adjective? Let's do this one. How many believe it's an adjective? Just raise your hand. How many believe it's a noun? How many don't know? Okay. Well, the majority that you all said was noun. What are these, though?
Those are action words.
More action, aren't they? That's interesting. Which would be more of like describing stuff. Yes?
It's a verb in that case.
Verb, that's right. How many think it's a verb? Verb, one, two. Okay. So, second would be verb. All right. So, in this text, now, of I'll just tell you this. Of all the times the word fellowship is used in your New Testament, all but one, it's a noun. Usually, the word fellowship, even in this text, is a noun. Now, there is a word that's a verb, which is one off of it in the Strong's, but it's never translated fellowship. But it's very close in the Greek to fellowship. It's kind of the concept or the verb side of fellowship, but it's never translated fellowship. Very interesting. All right? And so they continued. Watch how it changes this. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They continued in the thing called fellowship. Not an action, in the thing. And in breaking of bread, it says, and in prayers. Very interesting. Verse number 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. That right there is the definition of fellowship. They were together, not necessarily physically, though they were physically, but the point of that text is they were together spiritually speaking, in concept, in the apostles' doctrine. They agreed, which was a commonality. They agreed with what was preached, and that agreeance was the basis of now a fellowship, which was a thing now that they were a part of. They were engaged in a fellowship. Amen? Very interesting. Look at verse number 46. And they continuing daily and with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. By the way, that's very interesting that it says that. Eating their meat with gladness. They had a contentness, a gladness about them. They did eat together. They did come together. Amen? And they were single in heart, meaning they were not duplicit in their view of what they were involved in. It wasn't like, yeah, we do church and we do this and we're this person here and that. No, they were together. They were of singleness of heart concerning these things, which that is required in fellowship. So the temple was a place of ministry as they sought to reach out to others with the gospel. And so they continued daily with one accord in the temple. So they would go to that temple and then, of course, break bread together and enjoy some personal time together as well. Look over at Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 16. Ephesians 4, 16. This passage shows something, and it's not going to use the word fellowship, but it shows that a connection that takes place in a fellowship. The connection that exists in a true fellowship. In Ephesians 4:16, it says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. A lot of these words that are described here is really dealing with more edification. There is a communication, but it's more dealing with an edification of that body. But can I say, before edification will come, before even love will come, there has to be the initial connection of fellowship. Remember, what joins us together, as the Spirit of God has led us together, what joins us together is our common connection through Jesus Christ. That is the basis of our fellowship. We have all acknowledged Christ. Amen? You're going to be very interested in the rest of these usages here in reference to the word fellowship. Look at Acts 2:42 once again. We'll use that as a basis and then jump down through some others. I'm just going to rattle those off tonight. I'll tell you where they're at, though, before we get there. Acts 2:42 says, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They continued fellowship. They continued and they continued steadfast. Very, very, very important. Amen? Now, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 1, if you'd like to look over there. We'll be in 1 Corinthians 1, and then 1 Corinthians 10, and then 2 Corinthians. We're just going to go in order. And we're going to look at these usages, almost every usage in your New Testament for fellowship. And keep in mind, every one of these I'm reading right now, fellowship is a noun. All right? It's a thing. It's a noun. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So we were called into the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Interesting. We're called into the fellowship. 1 Corinthians 10:20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrificed, they sacrificed to devils and not to God. I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. I would not that you would enter that connection with devils, that group connection there. He says, I would not that you would enter into that fellowship, right? We talk about as a church on how we don't want to be part of any other oath-bound organizations or things that are not founded by Christ, because we don't want to be parts of different fellowships. We want to be exclusively in the fellowship of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse number 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse number 14 says this, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. The fellowship of the ministering of the saints. There's a fellowship. There's a group of people that minister to the saints. And they're part of a group with a common bond of ministry. It's a fellowship. This fellowship is not an action. It's a thing. Amen? Fellowship is not something we do. It's something we're a part of. We're part of a fellowship. All right? And then in 2 Corinthians 8:4, it says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us, I just read that one, the fellowship of the ministry of the saints. Did I skip? No, I got that one. Galatians chapter 2 and in verse number 9. Galatians chapter 2 and in verse number 9. This one might be familiar. It says, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. And so when James, Cephas, that's Peter and John, when they perceived, as in reference to Paul and Barnabas, that God was in it, that they were part, that the Holy Spirit of God was working in their midst, that they were part of what they were a part of, they were together in this, they then gave them the right hand of fellowship. They embraced them and received them in. Received them into the fellowship, that group, that two fellows in the same ship thing, amen. We're together now, and it was recognized as such. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse number 9. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 9. It says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And so the mystery that's revealed in the New Testament is the gospel. It's Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. Jesus died for our sins, shedding his blood, dying, being buried, and raising again, and then making that propitiation or atonement for our sin. That is the mystery that was alluded to in the Old Testament, now revealed in the New Testament. And then in this text, it says, Ephesians 3:9, that there is a fellowship of the mystery, meaning those of us that understand that mystery now are in a fellowship. We're in a group. There's a group of us. We're in the same ship. It's a fellowship. It's a thing. Amen. These are nouns. Remember, every time the word fellowship is used in New Testament, it's a noun except one time. It's not an adjective. It's not a verb. It's a noun all the time except for one. Now, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 4, Philippians chapter 1 in verse number 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your unto the ministering of the saints. Amen? That's the fellowship that we're involved in. It's a noun. Okay? Very interesting. We're going to keep looking. We're looking at most every time. If any fellowship of the Spirit in the bowels of mercy. So, fellowship in the Spirit, which gives, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. There is a fellowship around the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Some people, they're believers, they're Christians, but when they go through a hard time, they blame others, they attack others, they get disgruntled, they get woe is me, they start having a pity party, and there's a fellowship for people like that. But it's not a fellowship that's described here, amen. There is a group of people like that, amen, of which I would not recommend that you find yourself connected to that group. And then there's the group that realize that, and it's okay. I'm going to go through hardship, and it's okay. It doesn't feel comfortable. I don't like to go through it, but I'm going to give God glory in it. And I'm going to look for the opportunities of it. And I'm going to just praise Jesus no matter what comes. Whether like Paul, who was being stoned to death, so they thought, or whether receiving stripes, or being forsaken by brethren, or shipwreck, or anything else. Paul said, I choose the glory in that. Can I say, there is a fellowship of people that are a part of that same mentality. It's like two fellows in that same ship, amen? There's a fellowship there concerning the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And by the way, we'll just write this just so I can remember that word there, sufferings of Christ. Those that are in this group. Now, this is why this is important. We're going to look at a few more of these. This is why this is important. Whatever fellowship you are involved in, that is the group of people you connect with. Meaning, if you don't suffer well, you're not in this fellowship. And so when you go through hard times, you don't understand those strange people that they go through hard times and they just give God the glory, keep on plugging away. There's no commonness there. There's no connection there. So you don't relate with them. If you're lost and you're not part of the fellowship that's in Jesus Christ, lost people don't understand saved people. They're not in the same ship. There's no connection there. So because they're not in the same noun, fellowship, they don't relate. Is this making sense? Same thing about the gospel. Those that believe and understand that our purpose as a church is the gospel, they're in a fellowship together. They're trying to reach souls together. But those in the church that believe the church is for something else, they don't relate, right? And they disconnect from those that are in that boat because they're in a different boat. Does this make sense? It's a noun. It's a fellowship. Watch, it continues. This is really interesting. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and in verse number 3. 1 John chapter 1 and in verse number 3. I'll make this statement, and we'll see how this develops. Before you can have fellowship as we understand the word, you have to first be in the fellowship. This side that y'all gave me earlier doesn't happen until the now happens. And everybody wants to say, come to me here. It doesn't work that way. I'll show you here in 1 John. Why that is. 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Watch this. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. So, in this text, John is inviting others to come into the fellowship through, really as the Spirit draws, or unto the Father. It actually says in this text, our fellowship is, I'm sorry, with the Father. So inviting others to have fellowship with God, with the Father, the triune nature of God, with the Father, with the Son, yea, with the other cross reference there, with the Holy Spirit. There is fellowship in the triune nature of God. Amen. Amen? And so when people invite us to fellowship and the noun is not there, it's very uncomfortable. Because you're like two ships passing in the night. Because fellowship, the noun, is you're in the same ship with somebody. And if you're not, this is hard. And it's uncomfortable. And nobody likes it. But the only way this will work is when we both jump in that same ship. Does that make sense? That's what it's showing here. And that fellowship is not about me. It's not about personality. It's not about likes and dislikes. It's about God. It's about the Father. It's about the Son. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's about the gospel. It's about ministering to the saints. It's about these things. That's where our fellowship actually begins as a thing. Amen? And that commonality is what enables us then to fellowship like that, which I'll show you the word for that in just a minute. Amen? This passage goes on. And it says in verse number 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship in him," you know that's still a noun. Isn't that crazy? If we say we are connected in him, not that I have fellowship like a verb, but that I am in his fellowship. If I say I'm in his fellowship is really the thought here in this text. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. In other words, if we walk in the light, if we come to Jesus, then we have that fellowship. We have it. We have it. It's a nice possession. I have a fellowship in Jesus Christ. No matter what's going on in my life, I have it. It's mine. Amen? Because I've entered into it through the gospel. Does this make sense? It's really, this whole study has been very fascinating. Amen. Now, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse number 11. This will be the verb tense of fellowship. It's used one time. One time. And by the way, it's not even the word koinonia. Every other time we just looked at, except for one, there was one other, but the majority of the times we just looked at, it was all a Greek word koinonia. And that word koinonia means communion. It means togetherness, commonness. This time the word fellowship is used, but it's not even that word koinonia, but it is the word fellowship. And it says in Ephesians 5:11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Now this is a verb, and it means to share company with. It says, do not engage in company with those that are of the unfruitful works of darkness. Do not come together with them. Stay separate, if you will. That same word is used two other times, and one of those is communicate, which was interesting because Nancy said the word conversation. And in Philippians 4:14, it says, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction," which means that you entered into that affliction with them. You communicated with them in that affliction. You jumped in their ship to help them. Amen? You have fellowship there, centered around their affliction. It's not the word koinonia. It's different than the fellowship that we have here. It's just standalone. It's just on its own. You jumped into that fellowship with them, and you helped them maybe row their boat for a little time because maybe they were a little too weak to row. Amen? And then there's one other. So one positive, one negative. The third one is negative. Revelation 18:14. And so have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness was the first negative one in Ephesians 5. We saw in Philippians 4, it says that ye did communicate with my affliction. That's a positive. You entered in and helped in that affliction. And then in Revelation 18:14, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people," that's Babylon, "that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues." Be not partakers of, that's this word, underlying what we saw there one time used in a verb sense for fellowship. So when we engage in fellowship, the idea there is that we're partaking with others. We've entered in a kind of an arrangement with them, right? We've come together with them, and we see that here. Twice negative in this context. These are all verb form in reference to this. This be not a partaker, that action form. Don't partake. Don't engage in a partaking way with them. The communicating side, that's communicating in the affliction. And then have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, by the way, we just went over all the times the word fellowship is used in the New Testament, I think except for one. If you have fellowship with a group of people, you have fellowship with that group. Let me say it again. If you have fellowship with a group of people, you have fellowship with them. If you do not have fellowship with a group of people, you can get together all you want, but you'll never have fellowship. Because the basis of all fellowship in a Christian, I'm talking about in a Christian context, the basis of what we do as a church is founded upon the work of Jesus Christ. Amen? And for us even to understand it, we got to get in his boat. When I got saved, I got in his boat. And now everybody else that gets in the same boat, I can relate with. Because we have fellowship through Jesus. As led by the Spirit, and can I say under the gospel? Because I have close affinity to the gospel, because that's how I got in the boat. Amen? And you have a close affinity with the gospel if you're saved, because that's how you got in the boat. Amen? Now the ministering of the saints, that's a fellowship, and it's almost like it's an upper tier of the same boat, amen. Because that would almost be like, of those of us that are in this boat, some of us as we mature, or all of us as we mature, we begin to see the importance of that edifying of the body. It's not just on one person, two people, a handful of people. That is on all the saints that really get it, that mature, right? The mature saints, the elders, they begin to teach, they begin to instruct, they begin to help others to grow, to be edified. And that's a fellowship in and of itself. And so the leaders of the church, the mature ones, the elders, they do kind of have like an upper level of fellowship, right? Because they've been at it a little longer and they have another commonness. Not just that in the gospel, but now giving the gospel and ministering to the saints. And every time we get a little more like that, like each other in these areas, we grow closer together. And because we're closer together in the boat, we're closer together in heaven. That's the basis of fellowship. Amen? So, if you have fellowship with a group of people, you have fellowship with those people. Amen? Group activities with others, like our Friday night thing, we're going to roast some wieners. Amen? I like hot dogs over the fire. I like almost anything, any kind of meat over the fire. Amen? That's a blessing. I like playing volleyball and all that stuff, and we'll have a good time. But just because we're engaged in activity doesn't mean it's fellowship. Amen? Very interesting. I want it to be, right? But we have to go to 1 John to see how we get into that fellowship. Amen. The Greek 2842 koinonia is a noun. That's what we've been looking at. It means partnership. It means communion, fellowship, a commonness. 2841, which is just one way. It's koinonio, not koinonia, koinonio. And it is an adjective, actually. And it means to share with others, in particular, to be a partaker of. It's gonna actually give a description in reference to this fellowship. And I'll give you a couple of these. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 27. Not one of these is translated fellowship. But the action of it is a byproduct of the koinonia fellowship. Does that make sense? So it uses other words, but it's right there with that word fellowship, but it's the adjective side. So it's describing what this is. It's describing what happens when this is present. When the noun is present, then there's a description to it on how we actually operate within it. And in Romans 15, 27, it says, it hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, made partakers, brought into the fellowship, right? Brought into that and now partaking of that fellowship. In the fellowship, partaking of the blessings of that fellowship. And in this text, it says, if they've been made partakers of the blessings of that fellowship, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Which is to say, if you are a partaker in the fellowship where someone is pouring into you spiritual things, then you're kind of indebted to minister unto them in carnal things. Help them out with their carnal needs. That's what it said. Amen? In 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter 4 and in verse number 12. 1 Peter 4, verse number 12. Can I say, fellowship is special. But it doesn't come any other way than that we just read in the scriptures. True fellowship, biblical fellowship. 1 Peter 4, verse 12 says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of the sufferings of Christ, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. Be a partaker. Enjoy the relationship there and draw from it and enjoy that fellowship. People that can't enjoy the fellowship they're in, you're already in it. That's why I studied this out. It really made a lot of things clear. I say to people a lot that I love being around God's people. I love it. I don't even need them to like give me anything. I feel so blessed to be around God's people. It's amazing. Amen. You'll go on vacation somewhere and you'll meet a family or someone or whatever. We've been out and get to talk and you find out they're saints and it's all over. Right? There is a connection there. You don't need anything from them. There's just, you understand there's a connection just through Christ. And in that context, they're a part of their own church or a part of our own, but there's a fellowship just in the person of Jesus Christ. There's a fellowship. And nothing has to happen. It just exists. It's a joy. That's what 1 John says in others. A joy comes over us in reference to others in the ministry. Amen? That's what this is all about. That's being a partaker in this fellowship. In 1 Timothy 5:22, it's a very interesting passage. It says, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. What that means is this. When someone says they're saved, be careful how quick you receive them in to your fellowship. Because if they're not the real deal, remember, they're not in this boat, so they're going to try to get you in their sinful boat. Does that make sense? And there are people that we know that are trying to pull us away from the fellowship of Jesus Christ so that we fellowship now not around Christ, but around the hobby, around some other common interest, around food, maybe around sports, maybe around an outright sinful activity. You see what I'm saying? And they try to get us to be a partaker with them in something that doesn't belong to us, right? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You see? People that are lost, that see what truly saved people have, they're kind of envious. And they try to pull us away from that. But you and I that are in it, there ought to be a deep-rooted understanding that there is a spiritual connection. And it has nothing to do with activity. It has everything to do with Jesus. That's our fellowship. So when someone says, I just don't feel like I have any fellowship, I would ask you this, why not? Because I know I'm born again. I know I'm saved. I have the Holy Spirit of God. Not because I'm someone special, because he's somebody special. And he offered, I took him up, and I called unto him. And it's amazing. And so everybody else that's saved should have a connection with me. Isn't that exciting? Even if I am hard to get along with at times. Or not everything you think I should be. There would be a connection because we're in the same boat together. It's not about what I do. It's not about how I dress. It's not about how I speak. It's about the fact that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, that's fellowship. 1 Timothy
I'm sorry, 2 John chapter 1, maybe the only chapter, I guess, verse number 10 says this. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. He says, if any come into your house and don't bring this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, then I don't care who they are. We don't get in their boat. I don't care if they're family. We have a family connection there, but we're talking about a spiritual connection here. We don't get into that spiritual boat and be a partaker with them in these things. You see, this is what fellowship is. The word communicate is also used in the same word. And it's interesting. Galatians 6:6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Communicate. One of the great things about fellowship is those of us that are in the same boat, we understand each other. And we should communicate with each other. We should communicate truth with each other because we understand each other. And that's what we're called to do, is to communicate in that. And if you can't communicate with your brothers and sisters, check the boat you're in. Because our boat is not based on anything other than just Jesus. The gospel. That's what it is. Amen. That's our basis. Amen. In Philippians 4:15. Give you two verses and we're going to close it out in 2 Thessalonians 3. I think. Philippians 4:15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. He said, in connection with this, he said that you are the only ones that got my heart on this, that we communicated in this, that there was a commonness here out of our bond in Christ. And then in Romans 12:13, distributing to the necessity of the saints is this word koinoneo, which describes what happens when we're in fellowship with each other. We then do distribute to each other's needs. It doesn't come first. It's a byproduct because we're in the same boat. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3 and in verse number 6. This passage does not have the word fellowship in it, but I believe it has the concept in it and a principle in it that we want to take note of. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Now, you see right off the bat, Paul is saying to them, those that are not walking according to the apostles' doctrine. Remember in Acts it said that gladly received this word were baptized and the same were added unto by 3,000 souls. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, right? And in fellowship and in breaking of bread. So this is just saying here that if there are those that are not continuing in that doctrine, he says withdraw yourself from that. Interesting, because the fruit of being in the same boat ain't there. What's that? Now watch this. He says, for yourselves know how, verse 7, how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort you by our Lord Jesus that with quietness they work. And eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. There's not a weariness in well-doing if you're operating in the Spirit, right? But there is a weariness in well-doing if you're operating in the flesh. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. You see, there's an order to church and ministry. And the principle there was, is that in fellowship, there's actually an action side to it. There is a work side of it, right? That ministering side of the gospel. The desire to reach souls. The desire to disciple. The desire to minister. But again, our ministering and all of that is centered around the fellowship which is in Christ. Isn't that amazing? And so the principle is that if you won't work or do that which one who's in the boat would commonly do, then neither do you eat, which means then you don't partake in the fruits of that. Which is it's a principle because it says those that complain the most about not having fellowship are those that are not active in the fellowship. And those that are busy about the fellowship, which is what we are connected by and in and through, we don't complain about the fellowship because it's just there. It's just there because that's what we are. That's who we are. It just happens. And it doesn't have to be any particular activity or anything else. It's just all around it. It's just, we're just engulfed in it. And there's an outpouring of it. Does that make sense? It's not, in other words, we don't put these on so we have this. It starts here. And then as we are engulfed here, just in the reality, what a blessing to be saved. What a blessing to be in the Lord's boat. What a blessing to be counted faithful, being put in the ministry. There's no complaint about it. It's amazing. I don't deserve to be here. Hallelujah. God rewards us with some amazing fellowship once you're in the fellowship. Isn't that amazing how that works? We see this throughout the scripture. Paul had, I'll give you this just as a thought here. Paul had a task to accomplish given him by the Lord. What was Paul's task to accomplish? To the Gentiles. Yeah. In Acts 9:15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Ephesians reiterates this. It says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Paul said, whereof I was made a minister. All right. Paul got saved. He got in the boat. In that boat, he thoroughly enjoyed what got him there. And he became a minister unto it. And then everybody else that he had fellowship was in that same boat. So much so that even in the salutations in a number of books, a couple of them, Philippians 4:3, it says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. In Philemon, he says this, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. They had tremendous fellowship in the fellowship. You see, and that's how it works. Fellowship must be founded upon something that the group can be unified around. No matter what you're talking about. By the way, if you're in an occupation, no matter what that is, it does create a fellowship in that group around that occupation. Amen? Happened to me when I was working on airplanes. It happens to those that are in different unions, different things, around their different respective fields of work. It happens in sports. It can be from being in the same country. But the fellowship the Bible is talking about is spiritually wrought and established as the Spirit leads us to Jesus Christ. And as we receive the gospel, we're put into the gospel boat. Amen. Born again believers. That is the foundation of our fellowship. Amen. Fellowship must be founded upon something the group can be unified around, and for the church, for saints, that is the gospel. For us,
to reach, act in our surrounding area with the gospel. For us to accomplish that, we just simply have to all be in the same boat and have the same purpose as we got in there. And then the outpouring of that will be that we fellowship in the gospel and we just operate in it. And by the way, from that will be a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? And so this is the purpose of a fellowship, of our fellowship. Amen? And then from the foundation, or from the fellowship foundation, we then enjoy each other's company in practical and in a personal way. Because we're together. Amen? You know, in a family, you'll sense this. Have you ever been, you have kids, and one of the kids start getting a little weird, and they start distancing themselves? Maybe some of you experienced that. Maybe some of you haven't. Maybe you've read about it. It's all show. Amen. You got this close-knit family. When the kids start distancing themselves, they start complaining, don't they? And they start noticing all the problems in the family, which, by the way, existed before they had to make note of it. But because they're distancing themselves and because they're connecting themselves in other fellowships on the internet with the wrong friends, wrong activities, now all of a sudden, they don't have any joy in this fellowship anymore. You all are a bunch of losers over here. You bunch of goody-two-shoe. All you do is go to church. All you do is care about people and souls and try to reach people. You need to stop caring about that stuff and help me. I have real needs over here. Come on. That's how it works. They become distant. And you know as well as I do, it's hard to reach those, isn't it? Do you know why it's hard to reach those? You have nothing in common anymore. When we don't have anything in common, it's hard to communicate. And when you can't communicate, you can't reach. So what's the answer? Be not weary in well-doing. And don't leave that boat. And the telltale sign you've left the boat is the practical side, the blessing side of that fellowship is no longer there. That's a byproduct of that. That's what I found in my study on fellowship. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Hopefully it's been a blessing to you. God, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for this time together. Lord, I thank you for our brothers and sisters in ministry. I thank you, God, for putting each one here in this place so that we can be in the same boat together under the same purpose to do your will and do your bidding. It's really glorious. It's a work only wrought in heaven, not on earth. And God, I count it a privilege. Lord, if I lost all fellowship with the saints today because I was just left alone and all on my own, I'd still count my time, having been able to experience that with others, a tremendous blessing. I don't expect that to happen, but God, it's been that good. I thank you for that. I thank you, God, for you counting us really faithful and putting us in your boat with you. And the fellowship that takes place around Christ is amazing. The fellowship that takes place in the world is not. The partaking there is not. God, help us now. Thank you, God. Maybe challenge us in this area. Might cause some to go do their own study and see if what I said was accurate. And I hope that people will do that. But God, thank you. Thank you for the fellowship that you've joined me into and each one here as we got saved. And thank you for what we're able to partake of in that boat together. Help us now, I pray, with this thought and this message in Jesus' name. Amen.